Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Soita Daf Chof Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 7 lines from the top of Daf Chof Aleph. We had learned in our Mishnah that a woman, if she had become a sota, if she has merits, so the water will not have an immediate effect in resulting in her death. The Mishnah mentioned that there are merits that can maintain her life for a year, for 2 years, for 3 years. The Gemara here will be looking into what merit is referred to. On the side of the Gemara, you'll notice a nosei / mivneh heading, the topic heading and structural note. A double underline appears. This is a birur, an analysis or clarification. With regard to what merit did the Mishnah refer when it said that zchus, that merit delays the ultimate death of the woman? So now we turn to the Gemara. Zchus de mai, which zchus protects her? The double underlining is simply stages in trying to resolve this issue. E lema zchus de Torah. If one were to think that it's a reference to the merit of Torah study, ha'eno mitzuva v'yosehi, she's not commanded in the study of Torah, and being that she's not commanded, we can't imagine how that would be something for which she would have merit that would keep her alive. By the way, note the nature of this sugya, how things are spread out. We mentioned there are stages of analysis. So this was the first stage. Now we have Ela, Schus de Mitzvah. If you drop down further down, about two-thirds of the way down the page, you'll notice a third double underline where Ravina, who's in a house marking, gives his approach. So in the meantime, we're at the second stage. And the suggestion is it's a merit, that she has merits of mitzvah performance. And now we have a very long question. So note the markings. Zchus de mitzvah mi magne kulehai? Does the merit of mitzvah fulfillment have that high level of magna, like the word mogain, protection? V'hotanya, we have a Tanaic source, which is a drosha, a type of agadic source. But the main point will be seen at the end of this long source that you see in a frame, where the point is made that mitzvah, as important as mitzvahs are, they don't provide that more sufficiently high level of protection that the Mishnah would say that she relies on the mitzvah performance that she's done as a source of merit to keep her going. So the Gemara asks, as we said, does it protect her so much? V'hotanya, es zu dorash Rabbi Menachem bar Yossi. The following was darshaned by Rabbi Menachem bar Yossi. The pasuk says, kiner mitzvah v'torah or, a mitzvah is compared to a candle, and the Torah is compared to light. Tola ha'kosev es a mitzvah b'ner. The scripture connects mitzvah to a candle. This ha'torah ba'or, and Torah to light. For the purpose of, let's say, imagery, just imagine when we say light, imagine daylight. The sun is shining and the entire world is illuminated. As hamitzvah b'ner, mitzvos are compared to candles, lo marloch, to tell us, to teach us, ma ner eino magino elo lefisha, just like a candle protects, it provides light so that you know where you're going, but only momentarily. There's another girsa that you see on the side, Eino Me'ira. Instead of Megina, Me'ira means provides light, but it's only temporary, as long as there is fuel in the candle, so the wick will continue burning. So, Af Mitzvah Eino Megina Ela Lafisha. So to a mitzvah provides protection, but only for the moment. V'es HaTorah Bahor. In contrast, Torah is compared to the phenomenon of light. Lomar Loch Ma'or. And here again, we have a girsa issue, a question, what text is either Megin Lo'olam or Me'ir Lo'olam? Light, and like in the case of the sun, so it provides light continually. Af Torah Megina Lo'olam. So to Torah study provides protection for forever. In other words, it's in contrast to mitzvahs, which are temporary, Torah is long-lasting. The Omer is another pasuk that he continues darshining, Behisalecha Tancha Isach, and you'll notice the it says V'gomer, there's more to the pasuk that the source will darshan. If you notice, there's a dashed underlining that takes place. This is a citation of the pasuk and its continuation. So the pasuk, in the meantime, says Behisalechicha Tancha Isach, as you walk, so the Torah guides you. Ze ha'olam hazeh. That's a reference to guidance and preservation that it provides for a person in this world. B'shach v'cha tishmor alecha. B'shach when one reclines, but that zu misa. After a person dies, so the Torah that one studied serves to protect him. V'akitzosa hi tesichecha. Hakitzosa is to become aroused. Hi tesichecha, it will, as Rashi says, let's take a look together in the Rashi. He tesichecha talitz ba'adcha es chusra. It will intervene on your behalf. It will speak up on your behalf in your merit, and that is a reference to la'asid lavo in the future world. Moshol la'adam shehoya mahalich b'ishan laila v'afila. We can make an analogy to a person who is walking in the at night in the thickness of darkness of night. Umisyore minakoitzim. It is a long list of things that a person who is walking in the thickness of darkness of night has what to worry about. And you see, we've numbered them off. Number one, it said minakoitzim, from thorns. Umina pchosim. Number two, pchosim are pits. Holes, pits one could fall into, mina barkonim, thistles, umechayara, from dangerous animals, wild animals, umina listim, from thieves and bandits, vieno yodea be'ezu derech malech, and he doesn't know which direction to take at all. Nizdam no loy avuka shel or. You'll see that we have the triangle, a marking here, is a build-up in terms of what happens as the analogy goes on. So if you just skim ahead, you see there's a reference to a torch, and the next triangle, Olam Ura Shachar, is daybreak, and then Higia Poshas Drochim comes to a crossroads. So the stage by stage, Nizdam Nalo Avuko Shalor, he chances upon a torch. Now it's, well, at least where he's walking, he can see a thing or two. And this idea of the torch that he now gains access to is parallel to the mitzvah. A person who has the merit of fulfilling a mitzvah, what happens? So with the torch, and this for this fellow walking at night, nitzal mina koitzim, umina pechosim, umina barkonim. It protects him from thorns, from pits, from thistles. It's a type of, we'll say, partial protection from immediate sources of injury. However, vadayin, but even with the torch in hand, misyore mechaya ro, min alistin, he still has what to worry about, dangerous animals, bandits, and he doesn't know which path to take. Kevon Shaolo Amud HaShachar, when daybreak arrives. Now, the daybreak arrival, Rashi says, is parallel to this one who merits study of Torah. This protects him, nitzal, mechaya ra umin alistim. Daybreak, so wild animals don't rove around at night, and thieves operate under the protection of darkness. Now they won't attack during the daytime, so that gives the Amud HaShachar, the daybreak, protects him. And Rashi adds that, as we mentioned before, this is an analogy to one who has, in addition to mitzvahs, he has the merit of Torah study. He is protected, mitzvah min ha-chetu min ha-yisurin. Rashi says he's protected from sinning and from suffering. The Gemara continues, va'adayin eino yodea ba'ezo derech mahalech. But still, okay, it's daybreak, but he doesn't know which path he needs to take. And the analogy that Rashi gives to at this point is that, so very nice, a person has mitzvahs and he's to study Torah, but he might be overtaken by the Yetzer Hara, by the evil inclination. And if we let's look at Rashi together, right across from here. V'adayin eino yodea, shemo yichbenu yitzro levateo. The Yetzer might get the better of him to stop him from study of Torah. V'yoshiva lov Yetzer Hara v'upuranus. And then the evil inclination will come back, and troubles, puranus, punishments, troubles will befall him. So we go back to the Gemara text. Higia leparshas drachim. A person in our analogy, he reaches a crossroads, and at the crossroads, so he recognizes which path to take. The Rashi says across from here, Higia leparshas drachim v'shom hikir is dako. There he recognizes his path. V'afkan higia liyoyim hamisa. He reaches a person in the analogy. He then reaches a day of death. Velo pirish min haTorah ad yomoso, and did not separate. He didn't depart from Torah study until this very last day. Nitzal mikulon. He's then protected from all the above mentioned problems, as will be explained later. So now we go continue in our Gemara text. Higia leparshas drachim. Nitzal mikulon. He's saved from everything. In other words, he now knows which path to take. Dover Acher, another explanation. Avera mechabe mitzvah. V'ein avera mechabe Torah. A sin has the power of extinguishing schar mitzvah, reward for mitzvah fulfillment. However, sin does not have the ability, Mechabator doesn't have the ability to extinguish, to cancel the reward that he deserves for the Torah study that he did before the sin. And it's at this point that we really have to focus on the main point. Why did we bring all of this in? Let's look at Rashi. V'ein avera mechaba. Notice Rashi, just a few lines down from here. V'ein avera mechaba schar misha osak b'Torah kodem l'chein. Sin does not extinguish the reward, eradicate, erase the reward that he receives for having studied Torah before his sinning. Alma, we see from this difference that avera, that sin can extinguish schar mitzvah, but it cannot extinguish schar Torah. Alma mitzvah lo magna kuleha. You see from here, and this is why we brought this whole discussion in, to show that mitzvah does not afford such great protection. So that originally, how can it be maintained or suggested that zchus mitzvah is that which the sota can rely on or deserves to rely on for her protection for, let's say, continued existence for another year, two, or three. And we go back to our Gemara text, Shinemar, regarding the power of Torah and its protection. The pasuk is Mayim Rabim Lo yuchlu lechabois es ho'ava. That's in Shir HaShirim Perek Ches, Posuk Zayin. The reason I make mention of that posuk is that later in the Gemara, toward the last four lines of the Gemara, a reference will be made to the continuation of this very posuk. So that the posuk itself says that many waters cannot extinguish the great love. This Ava is a reference to Torah, and that means that even sin cannot extinguish the schar that one achieved through Torah study. But that's Torah study, not mitzvahs. So at this point, we've come to the end of what we explained before is a very long question. What is the schus that the woman relies on? Before we can go back, continuing the Gemara text itself, take note of some of the markings we have. On the side, we have a mivneh, a structural note. The house form appears. These are shnei deos, two opinions. B'mahi haschus shetoyle. What is that merit that keeps the woman going? So Rav Yosef will explain. And Rav Yosef continues within the spirit of mitzvah, schus, merit of mitzvah performance. Later, Ravina will appear, and he goes back to the schus of Torah. And what schus do women have if they're not actually commanded in the study of Torah? So we'll see what Ravina says. Another marking that appears is a diamond. The reason for this is Hadgoshas Mitzvah and Torah Bekesher L'Koychem Logein L'Hatzil. We'll be highlighting each one of these terms, Mitzvah and Torah, with regard to their respective protective powers. What do they protect from, and what do they save one from? Now the Gemara. Omar Rav Yosef. Mitzvah Be'idna De'osik Ba. A mitzvah, while one is actually in the process of fulfilling the mitzvah, magna umatzla. Magna means it protects a person from yisurin, from pain, from suffering. Umatzla means it saves them from the effects of the evil inclination. Be'idna delo osik ba, when a person is not involved in the actual fulfillment of the mitzvah, but he has already fulfilled the mitzvah, so then Aguni magna atzuli lo matzla. What did we say aguni means? It protects a person from yisurim, from suffering. So there is the schus of mitzvah does protect the woman, protect her from dying. That's associated with the yisurim. It doesn't protect the individual from the effects of the evil inclination. But as far as the woman is concerned, the focus right now is on what keeps her alive. So it can very well be, according to Rav Yosef, the schus of mitzvah performance. We can learn the Rashi together, just a few lines down from here. Omar Rav Yosef, Le'olam Magino Al HaYisurin, Harbei. The mitzvah has the power to protect quite extensively from suffering. Umay Eino Magino Dekomar Tanakama. And the Tanaic source, the reference was made to the mitzvah as not being a source of protection. It's min hachet shalit kfenu yetzahara komar. It doesn't protect against the effects of the yetzahara, the evil inclination of taking advantage of a person during the time that during the period after which a person has fulfilled the mitzvah. But as far as that the mitzvah's power of protection from yisurin, from suffering, it does have a long-term effect. And it's upon that the woman relies. We have now, you'll notice we have a bracketed section. Use your bracket length indicator. And what this does is it makes it very easy to skip immediately after Rav Yosef explained what protects the woman when the Mishnah said, Schus Toila, Rav Yosef said, what he did, that the mitzvah does have a protective effect. You skip the brackets, Ravin Omar, Le'olam Schus Torah. Notice the contrast. Whereas Rav Yosef says it's the merit of mitzvahs, Ravina says no, it's the merit of Torah. And then you'll ask, well, but she's not commanded to study Torah, so how can it possibly protect her? And we'll get to Ravina, who'll give us an answer to that. Now, in the meantime, once Rav Yosef focuses on protective powers of mitzvah, he also makes reference to the superior protective powers of Torah. And let's continue in the Gemara. In the brackets, Torah, bein be'idna de'osik ba, ubein be'idna de'lo osik ba, magna umatzla. With regard to Torah study, whether it be during the time of actual Torah study, or even when he has finished Torah, so he's not engaged in actual Torah study, It's magna umatzla. Magna meant protection from pain and suffering. Matzla, protection from the effects of the Yetzirah. And now you notice an internal brackets. The note on the side explains Toch Sograim Elu. Notice where we have a double star and a note. So it says Toch Sograim Elu She'ila Utshuva Partani. I have a say detailed question. Binyan Koicha Shel Torah Lahagin Lahatzil Laor Mashinemar Lifneim. We're going to be questioning what we've said till now regarding the protective qualities of Torah. So it's a, as we said before, this is a detailed type question. And let's continue. Maskif lo Rava. Rava asks, Elo me'ata, if Torah has such extensive protective capacity protecting not only from pain, but also from the effects of the Yetzahara, even when one's not studying, Elo me'ata doeg v'achi toifel. Doeg was a royal counselor in the time of Shaul HaMelech. Achitofel was a counselor during the time of David HaMelech. These people were very great Torah scholars. However, when you study the Tanakh, you find that they were, to put matters lightly, they were not positive individuals. They were wicked individuals. So, both Doeg and Achitofel, they sought out evil for David, for King David. They wanted to see him messed up. So we ask the following question. If it's so true that Torah protects from the effects of the evil inclination, regarding these gentlemen, Doeg v'Achitofel, Milo Aski b'Torah, did they not study Torah? They certainly did. Amaylo Hagina Alayu. Why didn't it offer protection for them from the effects of the Yetzahara, to prevent the Yetzahara from taking over these people? And we see that they were the victims of an intense evil inclination. The Gemara answers, Ela Omar Rava, rather a new approach. Torah be'idna de'osik ba, with regard to Torah study, when one is involved in the actual study of Torah, magna umatzla, it has that double protection from pain and from the effects of the evil inclination. Be'idna de'lo osik ba, when one is not studying Torah, aguni magna atzuli lo matzla, it protects from the effects of Yisurim, but not from the ability of the evil inclination to get the better of a person. Mitzvah, bein be'idno de'osik ba, bein be'idno de'lo osik ba, with regard to mitzvah performance, whether at the time that you're performing the mitzvah or you've finished doing the mitzvah, aguni magna, it offers protection. And now in this sense, we're maintaining Rav Yosef's approach, and it protects from Yisurin. However, Atzuli Lo Matzla doesn't have the effect of protecting a person from the effects of the influence and the persuasion of the evil inclination. Ravina Omar, Ravina, as we said, is a second answer to what merit protects the woman from. There was the Sota, the Olam Schus Torah. It's the merit of that she has in Torah, but not that she studies Torah, but rather, we ask the question: Ukamris Eino Mitzuv Yose. She's not commanded in the study of Torah, and yet you're telling me that she has the merit of Torah. Is it then a reference to her study of Torah? The answer is no. It's not a reference to the woman's study of Torah. Nihi defkudi lo mifkeda. Granted that she's not commanded in the study of Torah. However, ba'agra means bischar, in reward for demakrin umasnin benayu, that the mothers of children see to it that the children go off to school where they study Torah, they study the scriptures, they study Mishnayos. That's Mikrin is a reference to Mikra, the Tanakh. Masnin is a reference to Mishnayos. That Makrin Umasnin Banaihu, their sons, their children, Vinatrin Lhula Gavrayu, and they wait up at night for their husbands who oftentimes study Torah in another city, and they come back late, and these women wait up for their husbands to greet them. Ad Osu Mibei Midrasha, they wait up, Natran is they wait up at night for their Gavrayu, for their husbands, until they come back from their base medrash where they study Torah. Mi lo palgon badayu, do they not share in their schar, in the schar of their husbands who study Torah? So they share in the schar, women too have Torah reward and Torah merit. There's a Rashi that I think we should take a look at in the first wide line under the Gemara, la'olam zchus de Torah. Velosho sekis b'Torah, not as if she studies Torah and for that she gets the merit. Elosho teirachas b'vno v'baylo shiasku. It's because she extends herself for the benefit of her children and her husband in their study of Torah that she earns Torah merit. The Gemara at this point makes reference to the Tanaic source and the analogies. My Prashas Drochim. What is the analogy to the crossroads? The source mentioned the person who was walking at night, he gets a torch, and we explain that's a reference to mitzvah merit. The daybreak comes, that we explained is an analogy to the merit of Torah study and what it protects him from. What is the reference to Proshas Drachim, to crossroads? The Rashi that we'll take a look at together is found on the third wide line under the Gemara text. So we read the Rashi, my Proshas Drachim, mahu midame lehigia leProshas Drachim. What are we trying to compare to arrival at a crossroads? Daha avuka hainu mitzvah, the torch. So that is a reference to the merit of fulfilling mitzvahs. Amud HaShachar Hainu Torah. El Proshas Drochim Maihi. What is the crossroads a reference to? In order to answer this question, you'll notice that there are three approaches in the Gemara. Number one, Amar Rav Chisda, Zeh Talmud Chacham V'Yom Misa. This is a reference to a person who is a Torah scholar and he successfully pursued Torah study till his last day. And he knows that he did not go astray, didn't veer off the path. So a person like that, when he reaches Yom HaMisa, the day of death, so he can, depart from this world with a certain sense of self-assuredness that only good awaits him. Let's continue in the Gemara. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Omar, Zeh Talmud Chocham v'Yiras Chet. The idea of the Proshas Drachim is a reference to someone who was a Torah scholar, who studied Torah throughout his life. Yiras Chet, Rashi says, Yiras Chet, Zocha l'Yiras Chet, Achar Zocha l'Torah. A person after studying Torah also reached a level where he was fearful of sinning. It's fear, Yiras is fearful of sinning. Achar shezocha l'Torah, after he merited Torah study, nitzal mikulin shetorah malam doso divrei mitzvah v'divrei usur u'mimashu tzorch lifrosh v'yiras chet. Torah study itself teaches a person how to perform mitzvahs, what is forbidden, what one should stay away from. V'yiras chet mono milirdoif acharei yitzro. Achieving a level called fear of sin and enables, empowers a person to resist the temptations of the evil inclination. So that my understanding of Rav Nachman Yitzchok is that it's like an additional level to that which Rav Chisda said. He adds this additional element, not only being a Talmud Chacham, but also having achieved the fear of sin. Mar Zutra, Omar, Ze Talmud Chacham de Salka le Shmeitza Aliba de Hochasa. Pashas Drachim is a reference to a Torah scholar who, in his Torah studies, reaches a level that when he reaches a conclusion, it's a conclusion that is considered acceptable. Aliba d'ilchasa, it's a conclusion that all others will accept. You have people that can be engaged in Torah study, and they'll debate points back and forth, but remaining on a theoretical level, and reaching possibly conclusions, but conclusions that are not accepted. Those are, that's true, it's Torah study, but it's not called Aliba d'ilchasa. Let's look together at the Rashi. And the source above meant as follows. Olamud HaShachar, when daybreak comes, Nitzol min HaChaya, Zochol HaTorah, Nitzol miYetzahara umin HaChet, person who merits Torah study, so he's protected from the effects of the evil inclination and from sinning. V'adayin einu yodeh be'ezeh derech mahalech, and he still doesn't know which path to take. Im yiske shiyasayuhu min hashamayim liskabel dvorov bein chaverov lahoiros kalocho kimishpat. If he merits from through heavenly assistance that his Torah words are accepted amongst his colleagues, higia leproshes drachim klomar zocho lekach. If he's reached that nitzol mikulam, then he is protected from everything. The Tosfos, the second Tosfos on this page says, "Zeh Talmud Chacham Tesak Lishmaitz Liba D'Chasa." Tema, a question is raised. "Veheich Nitzal Mikulam." How can you say he's saved from everything? "Valo Lo Nitzal Miyetzahara Beidna DeLo Asik B'Torah." As we saw in Rava above, that a Talmud Chacham during the time that he's not involved with actual Torah study, he's not protected from the effects of the evil inclination. So how can Mar Zutra say that a Talmud Chacham whose Torah teachings are accepted, lahalacha, are protected from it, is protected from everything? V'yesh lomar, distam Talmud Chacham tarasum naso, your, let's say, standard Torah scholar, is a person whose Torah study is his preoccupation. V'oisek ba, Umar Kol Shah, he's always thinking Torah thoughts. V'eino holech dalat amos b'lo Torah, doesn't walk even four amos without Torah on his mind. So you don't have a situation when you refer to a Talmud Chacham that he's called idna d'lo osikba, that he's at a time that he's not studying Torah, since Torah thoughts are on his mind all the time. So he is in fact protected from the effects of the Yetzirah. Let's turn back to the Gemara. Dovar acher, aveira mechaba mitzvah, ve'en aveira mechaba Torah. I hope everyone sees that this is a quote from the long source above. We have a little reference mark to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara. Compare that image to the one above, and you'll see where this is a quote from. And it was mentioned that sin has the power of extinguishing the reward for mitzvah performance, but not for Torah study. Omar Rav Yosef, Darshe Rebbe Menachem Bar Yosef Lahai Kro Ki Sinai. Rav Yosef extols Rav Menachem Bar Yosef's drosha abilities in such a way that he mentions it's as if he received this from Mount Sinai itself. In other words, a very authentic drusha with a great deal of meaning. V'ilmole darshua doyeg v'achitofel hochi, and had doyeg and achitofel explained the psukim the way that Rav Nachman Rav Yossi did, Lo rodfu basar David, they would not have pursued David. So let's try to get into their mindset. Dichtiv. And now here the Gemara presents what Doegen Achitofel had. We'll see where they made the mistake, and then we'll see what they had been thinking. Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Lemor Elokim Azavo, Ridfu Vitivsuhu Ki Ein Matzil. They calculated that the Almighty abandoned of it, and therefore he's free game for them. They can pursue him, and nothing will save him, David, from them. My Dorush, what were Doeg and Achitofel calculating? The Pasuk says, V'lo yire b'choyer vazdover v'shov me'acharecha. A person who is involved with ervas dover, with acts of immorality, of forbidden intimacies, v'shov me'acha, the divine presence departs from him. In other words, he doesn't have protection. V'hein einon yoidim, they, the enemies of David, did not know, shavera mechabe mitzvah, sins. And with regard to David HaMelech, certainly with regard to Achitofel, he was calculating that David had behaved immorally in his mind with regard to Bathsheba. I want to point out, it's a little parenthetical, but historically, the Maisa with Bathsheba was at a time that Doeg could not have been in the picture anymore. There's a discussion in the Tosfos Shantz whether or not we should really have Doeg as part of the Girsa in the Gemara. That's as far as, let's say, for the sake of accuracy and detail, we're making mention of that. Nevertheless, we're going back to our Gemara. The Pasuk had mentioned that if there is any Ervas Dover involved with a person, so the Almighty departs him. And whenever we come to this topic of David and Bathsheba, I speak with a great deal of trepidation and hesitation, because the Gemara mentions Kol mi shomar shedavu chota in alotaya. Anyone who claims that David actually sinned in that parsha is simply making a mistake. But on a superficial level, the appearance that one experiences, one sees in studying or in reading the psukim, so it would seem that there was an element of, let's say, questionable behavior in the realm of a woman married to another man, and that would be classified as ervas dovor for our purposes. And therefore, they figured, Achitofel certainly figured that, oh, I can rebel against David, and I will not be endangering myself. V'hein einon yodin. We continue in the Gemara. The enemies of David did not know shavera mechabe mitzvah. It's true that sin, and when the Gemara uses the word avera, very often it's really a code word for immorality. And avera can extinguish mitzvah reward. V'ein avera mechabe Torah, but avera does not extinguish merit that one had for Torah study. And David HaMelech had a great amount of Torah study behind him, and hence he was protected, and therefore they made a bad choice by trying to pursue him and inflict pain and suffering upon him. My Boz Yavuzu Lo. We made reference to this quite a bit earlier. This is a continuation of the pasuk we quoted before from Shir HaShirim, which began with Mayim Rabim Lo Yuchlu Lechaboy Sesoavo, and we've actually included the pasuk on the side of the Gemara above, in the middle of the page. Venarois Lo Yishtefuha Yimitein Ishes Kol Hoin Beso Bavo Boz Yavuzu Lo. That's the pasuk, and here the Gemara explains what is this a reference to. We'll appreciate it simply by going through more Gemara. Omar Ula. Lo kishimon achi Azaria, v'lo k'Rabbi Yochanan de Bei Nasiya. This is a reference to Torah study, and one who would offer, let's say, all his accumulated wealth in exchange for it. Boz Yavuzu Lo. So Mora says that the Pasuk is making reference to someone, but that's not like Shimon, Shimon, Rabbi Shimon, was supported by his brother. Namely, Azariah was a businessman who engaged in commerce, and he shared in his wealth with his brother Shimon, and he did so in exchange for sharing in Shimon's Torah merit, Torah study merit. So that's one example. It's legitimate, but it's not what the Pasuk is talking about. And likewise, not like Rabbi Yochanan, who was supported by the Bei Nasiya. The Jewish leadership of that time supported Rabbi Yochanan. And hence, Rabbi Yochanan continued learning Torah with a sense of, we'll say, financial security, being that he was supported by the base, by the Nasi, who was Mefarnes him. Ela Kehilo Veshevna. If you want to appreciate what this pasuk means, Boz Yavuzulo, we'll appreciate it more simply by continuing in the Gemara with regard to Hillel and Shevna. The Chiyos Ravdimi Omar. Hillel, when Ravdimi came, he told us, Hillel v'Shevna Achi Havu. These are two brothers. Hillel Osak Batura. Hillel was very famous. Rashi points out this is the famous Hillel who studied Torah through poverty. Shevna, his brother, Ovad Iska. Shevna was a businessman. Lesof Omar Le Ta Naro Veniflo. Shevna offered to his brother Hillel, let us split. In other words, I'll support you, and you will, in turn, share in your Torah reward with me. Yotso Basko Viomra. Imitain Ish Es Kol Hoin Beso. If Ba'avo Boz Yavuzu Lo. So in the context of this Gemara, without translating it literally, the idea here is that Hillel said, nothing doing. I am not going to, in exchange for all of the wealth that you're offering me, I am not going to share in my Torah study. I want Boz Yavuzulo, Boz Bizar is a term referring to spoils. In other words, I want to keep all the spoils for myself, and I'm willing to live a life of impoverishment for the sake of Torah study, and thereby forego your offer of great wealth, of support. So that here you have a very revealing Gemara. Reference was made to other great men that didn't follow that approach, but rather did share. And, of course, Hillel, who refused to share, was willing to live, as we said, a life of impoverishment, but and not to share any of his Torah merit with someone else. Let us now continue to Amud Beis. This is a quote from the Mishnah on Daf Chof Amud Aleph. Omer ben Azai, Chayev Odom Lelamed Es, what Mishnah went on to say, Bito Torah. According to Ben Azai, a father is obligated to teach his daughter Torah, and this was all in the context of merit that a woman would accumulate, and if need be, it will protect her in the unfortunate event of her becoming a sota. Rebbe Lezer Omer Kol Melamed Es Bito Torah Melamdo Tiflus. The more focuses on Rebbe Lezer's comment. And once again, we're going to just translate the Gemara, leaving room for the Gemara's question. Rav Elazar says, anyone who teaches his Torah, his daughter Torah, is teaching her foolishness. Tiflus is foolishness, frivolousness. The Gemara asks, Tiflus Sakadaita, how can you refer to Torah as frivolous? Elo Emo Ki'ilu Limdo Tiflus. Teaching a woman Torah is tantamount to teaching her some other topic that is frivolous. Omar Rabbi Avol, my taima de Rabbi Elazar. What's the basis, the reasoning behind Rabbi Elazar? What's pushing him to say that? Tichtiv, the posuk says, Ani chochma shachanti orma. That's a posuk in Mishle, and the book of Mishle, the book of Proverbs, is a source that in its many different analogies are really references to Torah study. And here we darshan, we explain, Kevon she nichnasa chochma ba'adam, when Torah wisdom enters a person as a result of his study of Torah, nichnas imo armumis. Armumis is a word that I find hard to translate. Sometimes it gets some of these. You can offer a translation, but there's something lost in the fine meaning of the word. So, armumis is often translated as cunningness, type of smarts, it's wisdom, but it also involves cunningness. And we take a look at Rashi. Some comments that he makes are quite elucidating here. On the top line, ki'ilu. This is where the Gemara said, anyone who teaches his daughter Torah, according to Rabbi Elazar, is tantamount to teaching her something that's foolish. Ki'ilu shemitocha, through her study of Torah, he mevino armumis. She gains understanding of this type of wisdom that's called armumis. Cunningness, v'oisidvor behetzne, and then she'll do things in a secretive fashion. For our purposes, what Rabbi Elazar is trying to communicate is that this type of knowledge and wisdom is not becoming of a woman. A woman has a certain sense of class, of aristocracy, of pride that a woman has, and behavior in this kind of fashion, this cunning working around, working through the back door, and in a tricking type fashion. These are all this type of thinking, a type of methodology that Torah study does impart to an individual. In fact, if I may give a possible analogy to what is being referred to here as a Gemara, if I'm not mistaken, Maseches Bava Basra, that reveals all kinds of ways that tricksters would practice in the area of weights and measures, say deviancies with regard to charging the public in commercial transactions while using different weights and measures. And in that very Gemara, so the Tana of that section exclaims, whatever I do, I'm going to end up losing out. Namely, if I reveal the tricks of the gangsters, so then people will get the wrong ideas. They'll learn how to fake out, how to rip off the public. That's if I reveal. Now, if I don't reveal their methods, so the gangsters and the thieves will think that the rabbis don't know how we operate, and they're not on top of things, and we can get away with it. So you can see in that case that the rabbi was in a quandary. Should I say? Should I not say? But revealing these kinds of, we'll call, ideas and many, many other types of, let's say, questionable practices that one will pick up in Torah study. In other words, you've got to know what not to do. Another analogy that's maybe not as related, but the Gemara says, if I'm not mistaken, in Maseches Sanhedrin, that in order to be a member of the high court, you have to know sorcery. Well, great rabbis are not going to practice sorcery. Sorcery, the Torah condemns and is actually punishable by death. So why would how is it that rabbis should know how to perform sorcery? So the Gemara says, because if a sorcerer is brought before the high court for prosecution, they have to know the details of sorcery in order to know whether the party brought in front of them is actually guilty of that. So there are areas in Torah that when one studies Torah and pursues it in its depth and its breadth, they accumulate all kinds of, we'll say, thought processes and ideas that fall into this category of orma. And as far as Rabbi Elazar is concerned, that's not fitting for a woman. Well, let's continue in the Gemara. V'rabbonon, hai ani chochma mai avdilei. According to the Rabbonon, those that don't learn like Rebbe Lozer, what do they see in this pasuk? Miboya le lichter Rabbi Yosi Rabchanina. They need it for Rabbi Yosi Rabchanina's approach. And on the side of the Gemara, you see we have a diamond feature, because as you look ahead in the Gemara, we see that marking. B'mim iskayim divrei Torah. The issue is here, within whom is Torah maintained? Who has a handle on Torah? Who keeps Torah, maintains, who remembers his Torah? So Rabbi Yossi says, Ein divrei Torah miskayim elo b'mishe mamid atzmoy oroim alehem. Torah will not be maintained other than by people who are willing to sacrifice everything for the sake of Torah. Rashi says on the third line from the top, Shema miratzma oro maleo, Shapirish mikol asokim v'nasele oni v'choser kol. Someone who separates from all kinds of commerce and business in order to totally dedicate himself to the study of Torah. And to the point that he becomes impoverished. That's one approach to the word orom. I mean, naked, literally naked, but totally impoverished for the sake of Torah study. Lishnachrina, shemesim atzmo orom aleha. In our Gemara text, we had the girsa shemamid atzmo orom alehem. Here, we have a different girsa, and as shemesim atzmo orom aleha, shemarim, through cunningness, he has methods, shiskayim Torah. So, in other words, just read Torah line by line, read and translate and get on with the show. But rather, he has methods of maintaining his Torah, likboit salyad. Now, this expression, likboit salyad, you can see referred to in Maseches Avodah Zorah, Daf Yutes, and if I'm not mistaken, also in Maseches Erevin, Daf, approximately Nun Dalid. Reference there is made to people who study, we'll say, small sections of Torah and then review it until it becomes quite fluent in their minds, and then move on to the next. Likbot Sayad is an expression meaning to collect. Aliyah means small amounts, and then proceed onwards, as opposed to those that might study large tracts of Gemara, of Torah, without any review, and hope that they will maintain it. So, being ma'arim, to, let's say, be cunning, means devising an approach to be able to maintain Torah. V'lilmoid mikol adam. And another expression of this, meisim atzma orom aleha, is to learn from all. And that, in my opinion, is a reflection of the characteristic of modesty. In other words, a person who, let's say, has accomplished a certain amount of Torah scholarship might say it's beneath his dignity to learn from, to discuss Torah with someone of, say, lesser standing. That's a function of a certain level of haughtiness. But rather, be ready, be open, lilmod mikol adam, from all people. Let's continue in our Gemara. After having seen this expression, Torah is miskayim b'misha mamin atzmo or malem, shenemar, ani chochmo, shochanti or mo. I have wisdom, and that's because I dwelt in this characteristic of orma, as we've already explained through the Rashi. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, ein divrei Torah miskayimim, el b'misha meisim atzmo k'misha eino. Torah is not maintained by anyone other than he who makes himself like nothing. And this, as we just mentioned before, is an open expression of modesty and humility. Shenemar, v'achochma me'ayin timtza. Chochma, wisdom, me'ayin, ayin means from nothing. From someone who makes himself like nothingness, there you will find Torah greatness. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, roitze isha v'chulei. In our Mishnah we saw Rabbi Yishua says that a woman wants Roy to Isha Bekav Tiflusimo Yoser Mitisha Kavanu Prisha. So a woman would like to have a Kav as a small measure, and Tiflus is a lightness and frivolity than 9 measures and abstention. The Gemara says, asks, my Kalmar, what is Rabbi Shua trying to tell us? Hachi Kalmar, Rotsa Isha Bekav V'Tiflus Imo Mitishas Kaben Uprishus. We look at Rashi, Rotsa Isha Bekav V'Tiflus Chafetza Lizon B'Mazonis Mo'otim. A woman would rather have a small income. V'Yehei Tiflusa Motzi Lo B'Tashmish, and have her intimacy pleasures fulfilled. Mitisha kabin uprishus lufrosh mina tiflus, rather than have say a greater household income, but that greater household income, it's even 9 times more, would require abstention from tiflus, from intimacy, because her husband will have to be out at the office much longer, out on the road much more. Lefikach ein toiv shetilmo Torah. In order to appreciate this comment of Rashi, the Marsha says, and we've included the text of the Marsha on the side of the Gemara. Let's learn it together. Gam shatora vaday hisiro lufroish min hatiflus. The Torah itself is replete with instructions in how to stay away from frivolity. We mentioned before that the woman would desire to be in, we'll say, in constant contact with her husband in the context of intimacy. But beyond the actual act of intimacy, which is in fact a very holy act as far as the Torah is concerned, there are other, say, accompanying features with, we'll say, that type of lifestyle where there's constant preoccupation with that, that also falls into this category of tiflus, foolishness and lightheadedness and the opposite of, we'll say, of what's called kovid rosh in Hebrew, seriousness and sincerity. So the Torah itself is, as we say, is filled with instructions in how to stay away from tiflus. However, mitoch shechafetza bo yoiser, the Marsha, since the woman has a great desire for this, lo tashkiach b'azoras haTorah, she's not going to listen to that which the Torah says. The Torah is encouraging people to pursue a life of we'll say the opposite of tiflus, and she isn't interested in that. She's drawn to tiflus. Umutav shushoygin vayu mazidin. Therefore, it's better for a woman to avoid Torah study than to study Torah, learn about all of the azhoros, the warnings against lightheadedness, and violate it anyway. In other words, it's better to be, we'll say, in a state of ignorance of the azhoros, the preachings of the Torah, than to be aware of them and violate them anyway. Let's turn back to the Gemara. Hu hoya oimer, chosid shoite, v'rosha orum, v'chulei. The Mishnah had mentioned a number of, say, behaviors that need explanation, and that's what we're going to see in the Gemara. On the side, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. The double underline highlights the expressions Heichidomi, Chosid Shoite V'Rosh Arum. What are meant by those expressions? And triangles will appear a bit later in attempting to explain. These are Deos B'Mau Rosh Arum. What is meant by that term that we saw in the Mishnah? Think more. My Komar, I should say, Hu Hoya Oimer, we read this already, Chosid Shoite V'Rosh Arum, Heichidomi Chosid Shoite. what is meant by the foolish, pious one. Kagon de Kotova Itza Benara. Imagine a situation where a woman is drowning in the river. The Omar and the onlooker says, Lav orach aro listakuli ba datsula. It's not the right way to gaze upon women and thereby save her. In other words, by his piety in not looking upon women, so he's going to end up leaving her to drown. There's a chosid shaita, which, as we saw in the Mishnah, are mevalei oilom. They're destroyers of the world. Tosfos here is a little short Tosfos toward the lower part of the narrow lines. Echidami chosid shaita in Yerushalmi, in the Yerushalmi Talmud, it says, Ro tinok mevabea benor. A man saw a child drowning in the river. Omar, and he said, take off my tefillin, I'll go save him. By the time he took off his tefillin, the child already died. Again, an example of a chosid seemingly acting in piety, but shoyte, an absolute fool. Let's turn back to our Gemara. Hechidoma Rosha Orum. What is meant by that? Omar Rebbe Chanina, ze hamat'im dvorov ladayon kodem shiovo bal din chavero. Let's take a look at Rashi together. Shematim dvorov ladayon demishenikbu belev hadayon. This is a reference to someone who has a court case. He and another litigant, one against the other. So one of them starts to present his case before the opponent is present. And the problem here is that when the words of the first one and his claims are absorbed by the judge, reading the Rashi again, Demishik Mubalev Hadayan Share Zuchuyosov Lidvorov Shoseh, Koshin Lisalkon. It's very hard to rid yourself of your, say, original mindset, Vahare Ar Muso. This is the cunningness of trying to present your case prematurely before the litigant is your opponent is present. The Roshahu, he's considered a wicked individual. Sha'ivra alo sisa shema shav. He's in violation of what the pasuk in Sefer Shmos lo sisa shema shav tells us, and that pasuk is darshin maseches shvuos daf lamed aleph, which has to do with this very type of behavior, presenting your case before the fellow litigant is present. So by learning the Rashi, we understand that the aspect of Rishus and of Oru being cunning. The Gemara goes on, Rabbi Avol Omer, Zeha Noisein Diner Loni, Lahashlim Loi Mosayim Zuz. First we'll translate. This is a person who gives to a poor man a small coin, and with the receipt of that dinar, it's a denomination of currency. With the receipt of the dinar, the poor man now has 200 zuz. He's now worth 200 zuz. At that point, this poor man is not entitled to receive various kinds of tithes that the poor are entitled to. If you're under that level of wealth, then you're considered entitled to leket shikhon, pay out different types of tithes that the poor are entitled to. And when one is entitled to that, if you, let us say, are worth less than 200 zuz, you can collect as much leket shikhon pay as you want, even if it's a large amount. You're entitled to that, let's say, that right. But once you reach 200 zuz of wealth, you're not allowed to receive any of those tithes. So the Rosh Ha'orum, says Rabbi Avol, is someone like that. Now, what's motivating him to pay off this oni, to give him a dinar and thereby keep him away from your fields where these tithes are available. The reason is because you have your own relatives that are impoverished, and you want them to come and collect the tithes, thereby depriving this stranger from helping himself to your tithes. And that's wrong, because the halacha says the proper way is first come, first serve. Whoever is chancing upon your property, he comes and has a right to take. You can't hold it for specific individuals. And so by paying him off, you're thereby making him disqualified from taking the tithes. So the Gemara now gives us the background to what we just explained. Tisnan, Mishi Yeshlo, Mosayim Zuzlo, Yito Leket Shikul Peo Maisroni. Someone who has 200 Zuz, he's not entitled to take these different kinds of tithes. We're not explaining each one, but they're references to different types of tithes. Hoyo Lo Mosayim Choser Dinar. If a man had 199 Zuz, in other words, he had 200 minus a dinar, so afilu elef noislo kachas, he's allowed to receive even 1,000 zuz in one shot. If a person has a large field and the meiser oni of his field ten percent of his produce is worth 1,000 zuz, you can give it to that individual. Hareze yitol, he is entitled to it because at that moment he doesn't have 200 zuz. Rav Asi Omar Reb Yochanan, another approach to what a Rosh Orum is, Zeh Hamasi Eitza Limkor B'Nechosim Mu'atim. This is one who counsels children who inherited an estate where the estate was limited. Nechosim Mu'atim, there are sons who inherit an estate and they have a sister, daughter of the deceased, and the Halacha says that when there is a limited estate, so rabbinically, a daughter is entitled to take possession of the property, of whatever there is in this limited estate, and the sons, they have to go out fend for themselves. However, if the sons jump the gun and sell off the limited properties before the daughter of the deceased takes what is due to her, she is at a loss. So Rabbi Yochanan says, someone who comes along and gives counsel to the sons that inherited a limited estate to sell off the properties, thereby depriving the girl from getting the that which is there. So the Gemara continues giving the background to that. The Yomer of Asi Rabbi Yochanan Yisoyimim Shekodmu Umochu Benechosim Watim. Orphans that inherited their father's estate, and it was a small estate, and they sold off whatever little property that was there. Mashe mochru mochru, their sales are binding, and the girls are not entitled to lay claim on that which their brothers just sold off. Now, of course, they shouldn't have done that, because technically speaking, the girls, when there are nechasim otim, the girls are entitled to that limited property for their own maintenance, and the sons should go out and seek out, by knocking on doors if need be, their income. But if they, as we said, if they sold before the girls came to court, which would have entitled them to the nechasim otim, their sale remains binding, and the girls lose out. So someone who gives counsel to the sons in that case to sell off is considered a Rasha Orum. He's a cunningly wicked individual. Abaye Omar, another approach to what is a Rasha Orum, Zeh Masi Eitzo Limkor B'Nechosim K'Rabon Shimon Ben Gamliel. This is someone who, again, it's in the realm of commerce. He gives counsel to someone to sell off properties in accordance with the teaching of Shimon Leo. Doesn't mean that Shimon Leo tells you to do this, but based on his halacha, you'll see what this is and how this is evil counsel. What's the case? What's the background? Desanya, Here we have the background. Nechosai loch v'achrecho leploni. There's a person who is deathly ill, and he's assigning his properties, and he says, I want you to have, he says to Mr. One, or Mr. A, my property is unto you, and when you die, I don't want your children to inherit it. I want it to go to some Mr. B. V'yorad horishonu mochar v'yochal. And the Mr. A, who received the properties, he went and he sold off the properties and consumed the income. Hasheni motzi miyad halukuchos divrei Rebbe. That Mr. B, in our story, has a right to take those properties from the purchasers for himself. Rav Shimon Lil Omer, and here is what we are interested in focusing on. Rav Shimon Lil says, Ein lasheni elamash shir rishon. That second party, that Mr. B, does not receive anything other than that which Mr. A did not sell off. But whatever Mr. A sold off, he gets the money, the income from that, and Mr. B is out of it. He doesn't have any rights to those properties, even though he was mentioned in the original, we'll say, bequeathing. So who's the Rosh Arum? The Rosh Arum is the one who goes to Mr. A and says, listen, you know, your children aren't going to inherit these properties anyway after you're gone. You know what? You might as well go sell them off and enjoy whatever income, whatever proceeds you can get from those sales. Thereby, of course, depriving Mr. B of what the original benefactor wanted him to receive. Rav Yosef Bar Chama Omar Rav Sheshe Zeh Machriya Achirim Be'or Choysov. Let's take a look at Rashi. Who is a Rosh Arum? HaMachriya Achirim Be'or Choysov Re'u V'asu Kamoni L'chu B'drachai. This is someone who tries to convince others to follow in his ways. Look at what I do and follow me. Lo Nisgavein Zeh, this individual is trying to convince others to follow him, to create an image of piety in the eyes of the public, but his inner being is not like his exterior. It's all a cover-up so that people should view him as some type of pious individual and not investigate, not search out what his real inner personal lifestyle is like. And of course, he's trying to mislead the public that they shouldn't reveal his life of abomination, of immorality. So he is a Rosha Orum. He's wicked and he's cunning. His cunningness is trying to get others to think he's one thing when he's really a Rosha. Rabbi Zrika Omar Avuna Zehamekel Atzmo Machmir Alachirim. Who's a Rosh Arum? Someone who in his, we'll say, his halachic life is lenient for himself, and when it comes to issuing halachic rulings for others, he presents them with stringency. Ula Omar Zeh, and we continue at the top of Chof Beis Amud Aleph, Shekora Vishona Velo Shimesh Talmidei Chachomim. Who is a Rosh Arum? Someone who has studied scriptures, he has studied Mishnayos, but he has not studied Gemara. Let's take a look at Rashi. The top line, Shekora Mikra. Mikra is a reference to that which is of a scriptural nature, Psukim, Vishana, Mishnah, Veloshimesh Tamechomim. Lum, what does that mean, Veloshimesh Tamechomim? Instead of translating it, rather, Rashi presents what it really means. It's Lumoid Svoras HaGemora Betame HaMishnah Mahim. It's the study of the explanations of the Gemara in what are the reasons behind the Mishnayos. Roshahu, he's called a Rosha, and later we'll have to see why he's called Orum. Roshu Shein Toroso Alburya. His Torah, being that he didn't study Gemara, his Torah is not with clarity. it's simply not accurate, because the Mishnayos in and of themselves are a, we'll say, a skeletal presentation of what real halacha is. The ein lilmod heimenu, and one should not learn from such an individual, shaydei atomim, one who would be aware of the Talmud of the reasons, yesh chiluk b'isavetir, there are distinctions to be made in the realm of that which is prohibited and that which is allowed, b'dinei momenus lizkos l'chayev, and when it comes to money matters, once you know the reasons behind things, you understand there are different, there are practical applications for exonerating and for holding liable. Ubetaris, when it comes to matters of ritual purity, letame uletayer, when you know the Ta'amim, the reasons behind things, you can then rule whether something is actually defiled or not. Kedomer b'kama duchti, as it says in many places in the Shas, in the Talmud, my taimo omar mor hochi umar hochi, why did so-and-so in the Tanoim, why did he say thusly and why did the other one say thusly? V'yomar my binayu, ika binayu, and the Gemara will often say, well, and so what's the practical difference between them? And it says, ikume, there is the following, kach v'kach, this is the difference, that's the difference. All of that as a result, all of these points and these distinctions are a result of studying the Talmud, that's Shimesh Tamil Chachomim, without which, of course, you remain ignorant. V'orumhu, what's the cunningness, what's the underhanded element of such an individual? One who hears someone studying Mishnayos, kasaber, so the people in the public will think shu boki betamem, that he's an expert in their reasons. He then is the recipient of respect as if he were a true Torah scholar. And hence, the false receipt of respect is Orum, and as we said, Russia, because his own practice of Torah and whatever rulings he might issue are simply erroneous. The Gemara will be continuing with this theme. Amir Tzashem, in our next shiur, will continue with these points. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.